You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
We won a game. Hello, everyone. Welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley, and the long, long wait is over. Longford Town have won a game. Gary Riley, describe the feeling.
What a release. Lots of emotion pent up there from all the fans and ourselves and the players. We forgot what it felt like.
Honest to God.
For a long, long time, but great to get the result for the team. They needed it. Wayne was right in his, I think, in the interview he did last week or the week before, where he was just saying we need to remember what that feeling's like. So great to get that feeling back, and many more to come as Longford Town charge up the table.
Yeah, and Longford have begun the search for a new manager as well. So we'll talk about all that a little bit later on, but this is Series 8, Episode 12 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast with me, Kieran, and him, Gary, and we're brought to you by our brilliant sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And I have to say a big thanks to Gary for joining me on the show. I've had to peel him away from the Eurovision. You're a Eurovision fanatic. You love it as much as you love the League of Ireland.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that now, but I am a big Eurovision fan, and Ireland managed to qualify for something tonight, Berko.
Great to see.
As we record.
Extra time stuff there by the looks of it.
Yeah, injury time winner. But yeah, great to get it. Don't like the song, but look, we're in the final. So that's all that matters. In the mix, in the hunt. So look, good couple of days for things I like.
Unfortunately, the music has abruptly come to an end in Richmond Park. That soundtrack over the last 12 months or so, John Daly's Men. Okay. I'm afraid they'll have to change the lyrics to that now. This is the only place we can start the pod this week. John Daly, no longer the manager of St. Pat's. And I'm afraid to say, Gary, probably not surprising news when it broke this morning.
No, not at all. It's probably been bubbling away there for a few weeks. As you said before, he was backed in the window, got a couple of players in, got the first division top scorer in as well from Cork City. Hasn't really clicked at all for Rory Keating as of yet, but I think the whole thing hasn't been clicking for a very long time. Well, since the start of the season anyway, so it's not ideal for St. Patrick's Athletic at the moment, and I think something had to give there. I found a lot of the commentary around like the style of play and the lack of a style, I think, was probably one of the bigger complaints. People were very disappointed with how the team was setting up and the way the players were kind of coming under a lot of heat as well, and probably deservedly so. I don't think there's been too many performers for St. Patrick's Athletic this season, so I think something had to give, as the saying goes. And
yeah, I think that's a fair point. There's been a bit of commentary today that the players have let the manager down, and you know, this is a lot of those players were involved in Tim Clancy losing his job this time last year. So there's a lot of heat on the players, and I think that's perfectly warranted. I think there's some big players in that team that have not lived up to the level that they should play to. But no, I think you summed it up there at the start. He was backed in the window. It's his team now. He came in, took over from Tim. He's had time to put his stamp on it. And unfortunately, as you said, a style of play hasn't developed. And more importantly, the results haven't come. They've lost half their league game. So this was only going to end one way. And we saw the outcome of that today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and you said it there, that they've lost half their games. That's just unacceptable, really, for St. Patrick's Athletic, who are trying to mount a more stronger challenge on the league title this season, and that has not materialised in the slightest, and their league standing has really shown that they've just been so inconsistent. But I think the thing, like, they've lost 7 out of 15, and that's just rubbish. If you want to be winning the title, you need to be losing 7 games in the whole season, and we're about
a bit more than a third
of the way through. So it's just not good enough, and you know, it's not like the points. I wouldn't even be that worried about the points. Like they're in seven, but they're only 6 points off Shamrock Rovers in second. So that's not, it's not fatal. But I think it probably goes to show more of there's a lot of teams picking up points off each other. Mm. We saw, for example, last night Waterford hammering Shamrock Rovers in Talla. So there are teams gathering up points in different places, but I think the where St. Patrick's are in the table, and considering the number of games that they've lost this season, I don't think it's good enough. So John Daly unfortunately had to get his marching orders today.
Obviously already the search and the rumours regarding a new manager have started straight away. Stephen Kenny's name is
rubbish. He's not in for any of these jobs. It's not a fact. It's people going on about it like John Daly. Just to make one point, John Daly probably only knew that he was leaving St. Patrick's Athletic today, and the Examiner had already had out that Stephen Kenny was in the mix.
Mm.
That's not true. He's not taking any job. I would be floored if he takes any job in the League of Ireland or on this island at all.
Yeah, well, if you'd let me finish, I was going to say I don't see it happening, but it's more likely, I think, than the two jobs he had reportedly been offered in recent weeks, Bowes and Dundalk.
Of course he was offered those jobs.
Yeah, but I'm saying this
is Mourinho. Like,
out of them three, I would put Pat's on top as most likely, but I still, as you said, I don't think it's likely. I think if he goes a year without getting a job this time next year, he'll still be the hottest property in the League of Ireland. Like he's had two job offers and maybe another one forthcoming in the space of a few weeks, a couple of months. So the offers are coming his way. He's in a position where he can bat them away and wait for the right project to come. I don't think it will be Pat's, but I do think it's more of a runner than Bowes and Dundalk were. But aside from Stephen Kenny, we'll swap that talk to the side. A lot of Pat's fans online saying today, look, obviously Kenny, it's very ambitious. It's probably not going to happen. There's no real names out there at the minute that you'd naturally link to the job from within Ireland.
Yeah, when we saw that with the Dundalk job after Stephen O'Donnell left, there was no real names floating around. Next thing you know, Noel King gets involved, and
I want to talk about that in a while too, by the way.
I know, yeah. I don't blame me either. And what level of involvement, but I don't really know. Like, you're looking there at a couple of players, I would say former players. I know, we'll say Kieran Kilduff is managing the Athlone Town women's team at the minute. I know that'd be a left field appointment, to say the least, but like, has there been like personalities that will say that have left the game in recent years that have gone into management? If you would say, look at Dara Doyle, managed Longford Town and is assistant to Kevin Doherty. He's not that long out of the game himself. Stephen O'Donnell. Is there any players that you can think of? And this is more of a wider thing than just about Pats. Who would you look at like as players in the last couple of years that have packed it in that you might think would be a good manager?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I can't really think of any. Like you could understand Stephen O'Donnell. You could understand, but say maybe like a Ronan Finn. I know he's still playing, but I could imagine him being a manager in a few years. Chris Shields, your boyfriend. Who else is there? I don't really know, but you know what I'm kind of saying? Like there hasn't been like that fella really wants to be a manager. He's going to, I know a lot of players have got their badges, but I think there's kind of a bit of a quietness in that respect. I don't really know, I can't think of any other names like, at all. Andy Myler?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out a name there. I'm not really sure.
I think a name you mentioned there again, I see it probably been unlikely, but if I was Gareth Kelleher, I'd definitely be looking to have a chat with Kevin Doherty and Dara Doyle. I do think that I've been surprised they haven't been linked with more jobs over the last couple of seasons, given the job they've done there. A good steady pair of hands. Kevin obviously has Chels links, so I don't know how that would go down. Obviously, I don't know if you've seen a lot of this today as well. There's a lot of anger among a section of the Pats fan base about Saki O'Connor is going to be the man taking their next game. And he obviously left Pats as a player to go to Rovers. He made some comments about the time, I think, about the mentality of Pats and Rovers being the bigger club. And that's kind of resurfaced online now, the fact that he's going to be the manager. Look, someone has to take the games, I suppose. Pats fans are saying anyone but him, but that's another kind of little cloud that will be hanging over
Pats. When did he leave St. Pats?
As a player?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good while ago now, but he's been on the coaching staff. He's been on the last two or three coaching staff, so he's been at Pats for a while, so that's why I kind of found it weird that it exploded today. Like, he's been heavily involved, but people just think he shouldn't be the man leading the thing, but someone has to take the team, as I said. So
rubbish. Yeah. No, I think they need to get over that. They're on it. They have a big job on here.
And yeah, I think they've got a tough run of games coming up too, I think.
Yeah, well, look, we can come on to that. I think it's just important that they get someone in that, because of the lack of, you know, appealing candidates, that certainly by our mind, I don't really know who else is available, because that's a big operation, a big job on there. And also,
do you think they go overseas? Because obviously there was talk of a lot of kind of overseas applicants for the Dundalk job recently, so
there's always applicants in from overseas. Like a few years ago, I think Longford Town got like 30 or 40 applications from overseas that lads think. I don't know what they think the League of Ireland is, but like lads looking for a couple of hundred grand a year and flights and houses and stuff like that. Like, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. But I think the probably the disappointing thing is, like, John Daly, he lasted about a year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the sixth manager in six seasons or something. It's around that cut. So it's not ideal to try and build something. They probably thought they were onto a winner with Stephen O'Donnell, but he obviously went to what he thought were greener pastures, but he made a crucial error in that one, as I told you at the time. You didn't want to believe me. But yeah, I think it's a big opportunity for someone to come in, but the way the thing has been gone there in the last few years, there's been so many managers, as you like to say, a few false dawns. Be interesting to see, because now what John Diddy was able to do, he was able to pull the season out of the fire. They won the cup.
Yeah.
Now someone has to come in and pull the season out of the fire again. And then what? So they really have to get this one right.
Yeah. Look, we're going to do a bit of a power ranking segment now on the show. We're going to have a look at who were the big winners and the big losers over the bank holiday weekend in the Premier Division. I think we'll start with the team I'd have top of these power rankings as such, Gary, and that has to be Waterford FC. A cracking win in Tala on the bank holiday Monday, and they had a really good result on the Friday night as well, with victory. Against Sligo, yep. Away to Sligo and then away to Shamrock Rovers. Like, there wasn't too many out there that would have given Waterford hope of picking up 6 points. So last week we warned some Waterford fans on the show who were maybe sending out a few distress signals, not to panic, that we thought everything would be okay, and we were bang on.
Yeah, it was relative rubbish, I thought. I think a bit more realism, you know, they're mid-table, comfortable enough. They are picking up points, and there was always an opportunity for something like this to happen. They've had a great weekend. 3 points on Friday. Did I say that they would win that game?
Against Sligo. I think you went for a draw. Yeah, you went for a draw.
Oh, that'd be unlike me now. but yeah, no, I think those 3 points were always on the cards. Amazing that they got the game going, considering the state of the dugout or the goal. One of the goals, yeah, put on a bit of carpet there and thought that was all right. I know there was a lot of talk of the other games were played on it and no other officials had issues with it. I don't see how that should have been let happen in the first place. Thought it looked terrible.
It's very GAA-esque, that. You see that in a lot of kind of local GAA pitches where the square would be astral.
Right. Yeah, well, look, I don't really care about the GAA, but yeah, I thought it was funny, and it was pointed out a lot. Oh, what a great grounder, what a great this and that on this on their socials on Friday.
Peak League of Ireland, like you couldn't write that was going to happen.
No, absolutely. So as soon as that went up, like I was thinking, oh, Jenny's floodlight's going to go, or you know, something equally mad going to happen. But yeah, that can't go on. That has to be checked, and you know, the officials that let that go on shouldn't have either. Not good from the showgrounds there, but great win for Waterford. Probably not overly required, but great to get. It was going to be a difficult weekend with two away games, one in Sligo, one in Dublin. So to come out with 6 points from those two games was a great weekend. So they should be happy with that, and so should their fans. But yeah, Sligo with another poor result. I know they're kind of, well, I suppose, were they lucky enough last night? We'll talk about the two. Did you see St. Pat's, poor old Rory Keaton had a 10 or 12 minutes in, he had missed an absolute sitter.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, just hasn't happened for him, as we said earlier. Just to stick, I suppose, with the teams that had really good weekends, I think next in my rankings would have to be the other newly promoted club, Galway. They had a really good bank holiday weekend as well, held Derry to a draw. I don't think any of us were too surprised with that result, given Derry and our views on them. And then they go and beat Bowes at Dalymount Park. And again, that's a result that didn't overly surprise me. They held on with a man less as well, Galway, the man sent off. But a listener of the pod actually texted me on Monday morning. I do a bit of a betting column on League of Ireland elsewhere. And he asked me, had I got one up for the bank holiday games? And I said I didn't. He asked me, did I fancy anything? And I said, no, nothing really sticking out to me. He said, the only one, if you want to have a little bit of a punt, I said, Galway looked overpriced to me against Bowes, and he duly obliged and got on. So, well done to him for that. I didn't back it myself. But, yeah, I wasn't actually surprised with the two results over the weekend for Galway, but very good results, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, you know, particularly holding, you know, I wasn't, as you said, overly surprised with how Derry are, you know, filling the togs on a regular basis or a semi-regular basis anyway. And it wasn't overly surprising to see that they dropped points, but it was good from Galway. They've really become very, very difficult to break down, and that was always going to be something that John Caulfield was going to instill into the side. The big problem for them is, though, even, I know we're talking about winners, they've scored 8 goals this season.
I was just going to ask you that. So they're extremely well organised, as we know. Best defence in the league at the moment. Only 7 goals conceded in 14. That's remarkable for a newly promoted team. But do you fear that unless they can find a way to score more goals, get a real marksman in there, will these results dry up? Will teams eventually find a way to play through this Galway team? Is that the fear?
I think so, because as the season goes on, lads pick up injuries. The team is going to have to be kind of recycled in a way as the season goes on. And the players that you were relying on aren't going to be always there. And it's going to become a bit more difficult to keep the goal protected. And that's a problem. But what a bigger problem is, like, when you're not scoring at all or not scoring enough of goals, like, you know, when he scored one more goal than Dundalk this season. And, you know, that's far from ideal. So I think John Caulfield needs to look at his firepower situation there, because it's really lacking at the moment. Also, in another way, because they're so defensive, obviously they're not conceding too many goals, it's probably going to be harder for them to change the style to become more attacking. So even if they do get, you know, we'll say Pahoban in, which I know they won't, but if they did, I can't see him being scoring too many goals for them either, because they're probably not creating enough of chances.
Yeah, fair point. We'll move on with the power rankings. I think third in my table, I know they lost on the Friday night, but the gravity of the 3 points they picked up on Monday, absolutely huge. Drogheda would have to be up in third spot for me in these power rankings, because That was a real six-pointer they won on Monday, and the way they won it as well, to go down to 10 men, to lose your lead, it looked like there was only one winner, and to then go and snatch it in injury time. That's a massive result for Drogheda.
Well, it's a huge result. There's no question about it. They needed, they really needed it as well. It was probably, like I say, it's been a good while since they won a loud derby. I think didn't they win the?
Yeah, I think they didn't win any of them last season, and they probably could have won all of them last season. If you remember, I think we kept talking about how they dominated so many loud derbies, and then, as you said, fill the togs. But this was a game where it looked like that was going to happen again, and then they pull it out of the fire late on.
Very much so, and look, that's a real added bonus, especially when they were down to 10 men as well. I know Shelby got sent off for Dundalk after the game, but really great mentally for Drogheda. They had lost a couple of games, and I think even like I said, they got a good pacing against Shamrock Rovers the week before as well. So not ideal stuff, like, but that's kind of what you're going to get at that position in the table and the difficulties that they have. So great result to get. Great result to get over Dundalk as well. You know, on a bank holiday Monday is just lovely. But I think it's going to still be a bit of a slog for them as the season progresses. But good to get that, put a bit of daylight between themselves and Dundalk in 10th.
Yeah, just a few comments on this loud derby. It was a great game to watch. It was mental. You didn't know what was going to happen next, but a few things to pick up on. Obviously, there was a couple of stoppages in this game. Archie Davis got struck with a bottle. Now, it was only stopped very, very briefly, the game. And then the Dundalk fans played a part in their team losing this game. I don't care what anyone says. They equalise, draw it down to 10. They have all the momentum in the world, and some idiot decides, I'm going to throw a flare on the pitch or a smoke bomb right now at this moment. The game is stopped for 4 or 5 minutes, and they lose all of that momentum. There's 10 minutes added on at the end. A good four or five of that is because of the stoppage, and they conceded in the 95th minute. So whoever that idiot was that threw that on the pitch, if that was me, I wouldn't be able to live with myself that knowing I played a part in costing my team the loud derby. That might sound way over the top, but something similar happened in the cup final last season. Bowes scored a goal. They have momentum. A load of flares come out on the pitch, and they lost the momentum and went on to lose the cup final. Now, they lost the cup final because their players didn't perform on the day, but I think this is a real example of Dundalk. I don't want to say the Dundalk fans, but one or two idiots in the Dundalk end cost their team. They let their team down extremely badly here on this occasion.
Yeah, it's stupid stuff. And I think we're getting to the point where now we're going to have to really consider far harsher penalties than what we've seen in recent weeks.
I fully agree with that, because me and you took pelters a couple of seasons ago here. We were being accused of talking about stuff like this week after week after week, but the incidents were occurring. We thought, we're going to highlight this. The FAI, we felt at the time, weren't been strong enough on incidents like this, and now all of a sudden we're starting to see this season, we've seen clubs getting fines, we've seen away bans, we've seen a couple of... Have we seen any home bans this season? Not
Cork,
sure.
Cork had
last season, wasn't it? I think.
Was that last season?
I think so. But anyway, we've started to see this punishment, but again, it hasn't been strong enough. And this game was kicking off at 1 o'clock in the day because there's been issues between the supporters in recent loud derbies. So I think you're right. I think as much as I don't like to see this, the FAI is going to have to start getting tough on this type of stuff. We can't be having objects constantly coming onto the field of play and disrupting what was a really good game of football.
I don't disagree. I think it's... obviously, you know, going back to years ago again, but like, well, I'm not even going to say it, but the FAI have put themselves in a tricky position, and I know they're going about the DCU probably that might have to look at this and all this other stuff, but I just, something has to be done. It has to be done sooner rather than later, and without sounding like Maud Flanders about it,
Helen Lovejoy, isn't it? No?
Or Helen Lovejoy, excuse me.
Yeah. And I do, sometimes I am conscious of that's what we're coming across as, but...
Players are getting struck.
Yeah.
And refs are getting struck.
And again, I know social media isn't a good barometer for stuff like this, but obviously we put the tweet up, I was watching the game, and I put it up that the game had been stopped momentarily because Archie Davis was struck with a bottle. You get people in the replies making light of the situation. and it was only water in it. Like we've got to the stage now where this is becoming conditioned in some idiots' minds that this is acceptable. So it's up to the governing body to show that this is not acceptable with strong punishment. I'm afraid that's going to have to be the solution to stuff like this.
Yeah, we've seen the away support ban should have never been a thing.
No,
that was never going to do anything for anybody. Unfortunately, what we're going to have to see now is we're going to have to see. And I said it, and it was when it happened with Boz. Earlier on this season, I said, shut half the Jody.
Yeah.
Because when you see it on the camera, oh, why is half the Jody closed? Is there no one at it? No, the game was sold out because we couldn't fill half the Jody because we were bowled. And now we have to pay for it. I don't know what's going to occur. I don't know how it's going to work. I think this is where the FAI need to get their very rarely used thinking caps on and come up with a better solution than what they've offered in recent weeks and years. We've kind of moved past the statements from clubs, oh, you're costing us money and we're getting fined and we're getting, you know, this is difficult, and you know, we've asked you and we've pleaded with you. We've used the carrot, time for the stick.
Yeah.
And plenty of stick. So I don't know. I think it's time for the FAI to, you know, wake up and actually achieve something in this regard.
One more thing on this loud derby as well, and just some of the incidents that occurred off the pitch. There needs to be individual responsibility here too. There's grown men at games carrying on like the need to have a bit of cop. I don't know the individual or individuals that threw that stuff onto the pitch after Dundalk had equalised, whether they were just overcome with the emotion of scoring a goal or whether they were off their head or what. But like, you have taken the momentum away from your team. You've been a negative energy on your team when you're a supporter. You're there to support and encourage. You've affected your team. Right, let's go to the next part of the table. Would be teams I would say had steady but maybe unremarkable weekends. And I think Shelburne and Derry City would be in that bracket. I was at Ori on Friday, Shells against Dundalk. You would not have known that was top against bottom. Shelburne came and they didn't play any football at all. The only time they looked like a bit of a threat at the end of the game was when Farrell came on, had a really good game after all the talk about him recently, and Boyd as well added a bit of physicality and presence up there, but they never really looked like winning the game bar a brief chance at the end. Now, the dot didn't create much either, but it was very even Stevens. You wouldn't have known it was top against bottom. And obviously Derry City then again struggling to break down Galway, and then drawn, letting the 3 points slip late on against Shells last night. So look, they picked up 2 points. It's not a disastrous weekend, but it's not exactly what the doctor ordered either.
No, more opportunities dropped. And I think any time there has been opportunities for Derry, they've let them fall. And I think that was a running theme, you know, in the second half of last season as well. Shamrock Rovers drop points. Derry are just waiting to drop the points the same way. And like I say, Shamrock Rovers didn't have a great weekend either. They drew on Friday and lost on Monday. And again, Derry don't capitalise on, you know, the teams around them dropping points or not getting as many points as they should. So, yeah, look, I wouldn't even say Derry are winners or losers. They're just there doing nothing. Not a total non-event is what Derry City is this season, and for a large chunk of last year.
Yeah, and saying that, they're only, what, 3 points off the top?
Yeah, but like that's...
I have to say, and I don't want to hammer the league, because we're here trying to promote the league, but when I left, and I know it's a one-off game, and you shouldn't take big opinions off a one-off in isolated game, but when I left Oral the other day, and I said to myself, that Shelburne team's top of the league, I really had to start thinking about the standard of the whole thing this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. We've been kind of motioning towards that type of mindset in the last few years, though, haven't we? Like, I think we've said in a couple of seasons that the first division isn't... We know it's the first division and all, but, like, probably even less quality at certain times or certain games that we've seen. I'm not sure, like, I haven't seen as much Premier Division football this season, but, like I say, I think the last game was that Boz Derry game last month or 6 weeks ago or whatever that was. And it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. There was a bit of drama, but that was it. From quality of football, it wasn't fantastic. I think probably we're seeing a lot of that now, where, and I know we had, was it James on from Cove last week?
Jacob,
excuse me. Where it's like systems are winning games. Systems are keeping, we'll say, Galway only conceding 7 goals this season. So
yeah, and that was very evident from Shells. They came down in a shape and they never removed themselves in that shape all night. They were more than happy to take the point back up to Talca Park. And look, picking up points on a consistent basis, that's why they're top of the league. But just
there has to be more to it, though, doesn't
there? There has to be more to it, yeah. Really does. Looking at teams that had poor weekends, Sligo Rovers, Bowes, Shamrock Rovers, St. Pat's, and I'd have Dundalk bottom of the pile because the significance of losing that game Monday was so massive. They picked up a decent result at home on Friday, but to lose the Louth derby the way they did, that they have to be bottom of the pile for me because they've left themselves now with a big gap to try and make up. We've kind of talked about Sligo. They've been on a slide now for a few weeks, which is worrying. Bowes, we thought...
They were never up, Sligo, just to be clear.
No, they had a good start, but since then...
That game yesterday was their fourth win of the season. Nothing to write home about at all.
Bowes, as I said, Alan Reynolds, we thought there was a bit of hardiness setting in, but they look like they have a soft centre.
They're soft, aren't they? They really are. And he has a big job on his hands. But I think, you know, he has a bit of time now. This isn't his team. And he will say good results he gets. You know, he can say that he changed, or not that he can say, but you could look at it that, yeah, he made a positive impact, made some changes, did this and that and the other. But also, it's still far away from his side. So he has a bit of time on his hands, but I think he'll have to be a bit of a busy bee in the window.
We've already talked about Pat. So just on Rovers, again, Shamrock Rovers, you don't want to take one-off results into massive... over analysing them or anything, but would you be very worried about what you saw in Tala last night, or was it just one of them freak results that we're seeing this season? I mean, the Monday, I was looking at the results last night and I was like, these Friday Monday results, they're just crazy.
why do you say that?
So up and down, like very few teams are putting back
like Waterford were the only team doing the two games.
I was just going to say that only one team out of the 10 went back to back Friday Monday.
Yeah,
it's so volatile.
Yeah, no, it is all over the shop. You know, Sligo will say lose at home against Waterford, win at home against Pats. Bowes draw on Friday. Is that not a good result for them?
Yeah, but then they lose to Galway then, so.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, no, it's not. They're not backing it up. Yeah, it's just incredibly inconsistent. And I know there's people are complaining, oh, Friday, Monday, hard done. But sure, most of the league is fully professional at this point, so that's no real excuse anymore. As long as they're playing that many games either. You know, a team might play 40 games in a season if they're lucky. So... wouldn't be overly concerned with that. I know what you mean. It is quite volatile. I suppose Derry and Shelburne the only real and Waterford the only consistency out of the weekend. But kind of say it's like we'll say if you look at we'll say between first and ninth, or we'll say even first and eighth, and round it off, there's only 10 points between them all.
Yeah. Just before we move into the first division, one more word on the team that I'd have bottom, as I said, for the performances over the weekend. Dundalk, the whole thing, I think we need to talk about this Noel King thing.
Why?
He's done a couple of it. He's doing all the media. And right. He's not even trying to hide the fact that he's had little to no involvement since he came in. He was asked, I think in his pre-match interview on LOI TV before the Louth derby, or you've had a couple of games now, Noel, you're starting to put more of a stamp, your own stamp on things. And he's, the lads have been great, blah, blah, blah. He never got up off the bench once in any of the games. I was at the game Friday and I was watching the game yesterday. Never got up off the bench once. Brian Gartland is the man standing at the edge of the technical area. All the talk was from the people that are supposedly in the know that this was a genuine managerial appointment. It wasn't one of these shadow coaching things where he's been brought in for the badges and the two lads are on the show. But with each passing game, it's starting to look more and more like that to the outside public. Mm.
So what can be done about it? Is this just a genuine way to circumvent the rules?
Well, we don't know that, but it's just very strange that someone would come in and would take such a hands-off approach.
Yeah, well, because he's
such important games coming up, and he's basically come out and said, you know, I've not really done much. I think in one of his interviews after the Bowes game or the Shells game, he said he still didn't know some of the players' names. So
yeah, that's what I was about to say.
This whole thing bizarre.
Yeah, time will tell to see how it goes. Like if that's the case, let's just say, and then it all falls to bits again. Not that it's fully put back together, mind, but let's say it falls to bits even worse. Who do you fire then?
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you need to get rid of? Lads, we have to get rid of Brian Gartland and the other boy. And then Noel King has a job as actually, right, Noel, you're the man. You may start learning these boys' names, and it's bloody August by that time. So I don't really know how that works.
They reportedly offered Stephen Kenny a very good package to come back. There was talk of, you know, the approach to Waterford, the likes of Barra Clough linked. Why would you go and maybe, you know, speak to people like that to then go and find yourself in a situation like this? Now, maybe in the next couple of games, we will see him be more active. But at the moment, you can see why the perception is out there that this is all a bit of a show.
Because it looks like a show. If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck. It looks like
quacks like a duck.
And yeah, but like, he doesn't look to be involved anyway at all on the sideline.
I was watching the warm-ups today, and I know a lot of managers wouldn't have involvement in the warm-ups, but
yeah,
like non-existent, just staring into outer space while everyone else is doing everything. It's strange.
Did he find that out there, did he? In outer space, did he?
I don't know.
Well, look, he probably knows as much about outer space as he does about that dog team at the minute, because he can't be going on. Like, I'd say it is a bit of a situation where they've installed someone with badges to make the thing okay on paper. Like, we've talked about that before. We've seen that before with Dundalk. We've seen that before with other teams. It doesn't work. I don't think it's great. Very hard to police, though.
It is.
Unless you have an FEI lad in there, you know, looking at him all the time. What's he doing? What's he saying? But probably what will happen is he might be doing a bit less media, or he'll just have to cop on when he is doing media. And that'll resolve that problem.
I think he's handled it. The media has been poor as well. Like, I think he came out yesterday and after the loud derby and saying that Dundalk were the much the better side. And I think a few people said in the replies, how would he know? He couldn't see from where he was sitting on the bench. Going on about what an exciting game it was and everything. I don't think Dundalk fans want to hear that after you've lost a six-pointer to your local rivals. So
no, a bit too happy-chappy, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that's actually a really interesting point you make. If the whole thing goes tits up here, what do they do?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, do you show three lads the door?
Yeah, it's a mess.
Like, who has he brought in?
Yeah, it's an absolute mess. Nobody.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, what's he going to do it all himself?
It's unbelievable. First division. I think the two Cork clubs had very good weekends, didn't they? Cove and Cork City. Cove. Yeah, really good set of results for them. It must be the podcast factor. I've been on here last week. Now they did lose on the. No, sorry, they didn't lose on the Friday. They beat Bray on the Friday, and then they beat UCD. So yeah, back-to-back wins. That was a really good weekend for them.
Very much so. The only team in the first division to do the same. We're getting similar vibes out of the first division as the Premier Division. But yeah, great weekend for Cove. They needed it. They were kind of there rattling around lower table and not really... There was a bit of a gap opening up there, so... Good to get those points on the board. But They were definitely the big winners. Obviously, Cork, I don't really say they're the winners or losers. Like, they're not big Anthem because they're just going to keep moseying on and getting the goals on the board and or getting the results on the board.
8-point gap opened up now. I think it was 7 going into the Friday. So, you know, they've made gains again, even if it's only a point. They're still unbeaten. So they might be the most spectacular results in the world, beating Kerry 1-0 from a penalty and then drawing against Wexford. But this is just the blueprint of Cork City for the season. They're just going to grind out the points needed. I think a bit of a break then to Wexford and that loan. They had kind of up and down weekends. They obviously shared a 2-2 draw on the Friday, and then on the Monday at Lone beat Treaty, and Wexford got the point against Cork. So I think they'd be both pleased with their efforts over the weekend.
Yeah, 100%. I think for Athlone, they put a good few, a nice run of results there after a bit of a rocky, let's say, middle part of the opening part of the season. They were a bit ropey for a while there, but they've done well to pull it out of the fire. A couple of good results mixed in there, and another 1-0 win for Athlone against Treaty, who are not going well at the minute.
Yeah, I think after Wexford and Athlone, you can put them in any order then after that for terms of who had good weekends, because the results were just, again, so inconsistent. The bottom two would be Treaty and Kerry, because they both lost their games Friday and Monday. But the wheels really have come off Treaty, haven't they?
Yeah, well, I think I was saying it about Harps as well. They've only one win in 5. I can't remember the last time Treaty won a game, probably in the first 3 or 4 games of the season. They've been rudderless ever since, really. But I think that was kind of the whole few games at the start of the season were a total falsehood. They lost too many players. Their squad isn't strong enough. And to win those few games at the start was not a real reflection on what was going to, you know, play out over the rest of the season. And we're seeing that in spades at the minute. So, not a great time for Treaty at the moment. And, yeah, I think it's just going to be a bit of a slog for them for the rest of the season.
Are we starting to see a bit of a mini table forming down the bottom? Treaty, Kerry and Longford Town, they're the ones that are currently cut adrift from the playoff places. Cove need to probably keep up this little run of form just to stay in touch with the top six. But is that a mini division of its own, or do you think some of them teams might emerge from that that little pack?
Oh yeah, Longford Town will emerge out of that, no bother.
We will see.
Yeah, no, look, I think you're right. There is a aspect of that, but I think with the way, like, even if you look at Harps there, as I said, 1-5. Like that's a real bad run at the minute. And it's kind of really curtailed their comfortableness in the playoff positions. So they need to stop that run of form in some way, shape or form. But like even the win that they got was against Treaty, who have been dire
A lot of Harps fans seem to be referencing that they're really struggling to score goals at the moment. You look at the numbers there, 13 goals scored in 14, which is surprising given how well success started the season, but they seem to be struggling to create chances for him.
But I was telling you, lad, it was never going to last for Treaty and Harps. It wasn't able to happen. So, I don't think the teams are strong enough and the squads are strong enough to.
I still fancy Harps to finish in the playoffs. I think they're
fourth or fifth if they're lucky.
Gritty enough.
Yeah, I think Wexford though will gather it up at some point.
Goalkeeping issue needs to be sorted absolutely.
Jesus.
What game was that? Was it the
At long game there the other day?
That was tragic.
Came out like Superman and didn't come near it. Woeful stuff. And that was from they were 2-0 up, Wexford. Yeah. That's a second or, well, it's definitely twice they've done it this season. Both from goalkeeping errors. And it's not, and like we'll say, I've seen in the last 2 Longford games and the Athlone game yesterday, there's been 3 or 4 brutal goal giving away type errors from the keeper. And yeah, he's just going through an extremely bad patch at the moment. But that's not going to... That needs to be fixed today. That needs to be fixed yesterday, because they're dropping points and now they're getting into that mid-table nothingness. The only saving grace is that you know, they're only 3 points off third on their own, so it's not that bad yet.
Yeah, but and Aaron Dobbs came off the bench against Cork on Monday, so he looks like he's slowly getting back to fitness. He'll be a big addition to him, but they need to sort out the goals at the back. Otherwise, Dobbs is going to have to be scoring two or three a game. But look, that's kind of a general feeling of where the first division stands after the bank holiday weekend. We get stuck into the predictions, Gary.
Before you do that.
Yes, sir.
Bit of jibber-jabber there from Treaty going on about that red card. What do you think? I've asked a few people about this. I just want to know your opinion. Go on, lad. Get it out of you. No, you want to say.
Unless he's done him for, like, you know, the angle we can't see. Has he done him for going in high or whatever? I'm not sure it was. Was it denying a clear goal scoring opportunity? There was a man on the cover. I think he could have got away with a yellow card, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I see that. But I think what the reason I bring it up at all is with the Treaty. I know a big shout out to all my Treaty fans down in Limerick, or all my fans down in Limerick. I'll see you soon on Monday next up in Longford. Yeah, no, I was just really surprised that you know, I don't want to say an insane reaction, but it's a very strong reaction. Like, I can see why, I can see why it was a red card. There was no, like, the Treaty Twitter cut was going on about last man anything is out of the game, yeah. A lifetime. It's not a last, there's no last man anything anymore. I would have put it down as a denial of a goal scoring opportunity, and that's what it is. That's what the red card is for. Yeah, really bad reaction, and loads of other people going on about, he was well covered and last man this, it wasn't the last man. You know, people need to keep up with the rules, because as you know, it's very rules intense. You know, there's so much what do you call it, like, concentration on the refs, and by God, I give refs a hard time, but you know, that's not one to be roaring about. But yeah, this crazy reaction from that one.
Right, we'll go to the predictions league. And you had a good week last week, probably your best week of the season so far. You got 9 points, so you've drawn yourself level with me on 41 and the listeners on 53. So I feel like we're starting to reel them in a little bit. It was Dee McCall that played last week, a Derry City fan. And we haven't had to go far geographically to find this week's listener. We've got Ethan from Harps coming on to play. So let's see if he can outshine his pal from Derry up there. We'll start with the first division games, and we'll go with Athlone against Bray first. Bray's good run of form was broken on the Friday, but they go back to winning ways on the Monday.
This is in the, let's see, Wullen Stadium. This should be a decent game. I'm going to go with Athlone here. Whatever Bray have done to kind of, you know, stop conceding so many stupid goals is a good thing, but I'm pro Athlone here at the minute. I'm going to go 2-1 to Athlone.
Okay, I'm going to go for one more goal than that. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. Ethan going for a 3-1 win to Athlone, so nobody prepared to invest their faith fully in Bray there. Treaty against Wexford. You'd have to think this is a big opportunity for Wexford.
Absolutely, to get a good away win here. I don't think it'll happen, though.
Really?
Unfortunately not. I think the Wexford aren't too bad. I think they have won a few away games this season. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 to Wexford, and Ethan going 1-0 to Wexford there. Harps against Longford and Ballybuffet.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be making this one. It has to be an opportunity for Harps to get a win. Do you think the win for Longford on Bank Holiday Monday will totally change the direction of this season for the for Longford?
It's difficult to say. I mean this with the most respect in the world, but they beat the team the second bottom, a game they should be winning at home. They were quite comfortable in the first half. It was more difficult in the second half. They had to put their backs to the walls a little bit, but I think I spoke to Wayne Groves after for the local radio, and he made the point that it was nearly good for them to know that they could hold on to a lead, because we've seen them let the lead slip so many times this season that mentally that'll do them the world of good, that when they get in front now, they know that they can see a game out. I think picking up a point on the road here wouldn't be the worst result in the world. I know Longford kind of need to be winning games, really, if they want to try and have any ambitions of maybe breaking out of that group down at the bottom that we talked about. But I probably don't see it happening here just yet. I'm going to go for a 1-1. I think it's going to be baby steps for this Longford team.
Fair enough. I'll go with you on the 1-1.
Okay, and Ethan going 1-1 as well, which is interesting given he's a Hearts fan. Probably says a bit about the confidence of both sides there. Kerry against UCD. I wasn't overly impressed with Kerry on the Monday. They were better in the second half when they brought on the likes of Kelleher. I actually thought their subs were quite good. The winger as well, Okwute, that came on. He provided the assist for Kelleher. He was a constant threat. But just going back to that Longford Kerry game, one thing, if I was Conor McCarthy, the Kerry manager, I'd be very, very annoyed with my goalkeeper.
We haven't even come up
For Longford's second goal. He just throws himself to the floor inside his 6-yard box, defending a corner, and then it's a free header for Wade Slater to tap into an empty net. Like, what on earth he was trying to manufacture there, I don't know. And I saw a lot of that from some Kerry players. A lot of players hitting the ground very, very cheaply, looking for stuff that wasn't there. I think they need to eradicate that from their game. UCD, they'll be disappointed with the result against Cove. The pitch here
in that game, yeah.
I think the pitch could be a bit of a leveler here as well. I don't think it'll suit UCD's style. So,
what?
I'm gonna go 1-0 UCD. But I wouldn't be overly confident on this one. Kerry could get something out of this.
Yeah, no, I think I'm gonna go 2-1 to UCD. I was at the match on Friday. You went to your favourite team, Dundalk, instead. I thought with UCD they were very methodical. They weren't too flashy, but they still had the capability of that, if you know what I mean. If they needed to turn it on, they were able to. Now, obviously, the game on Monday kind of throws a bit of a spanner in that idea, but I think they have enough to do it. And even actually, To be fair to Longford, UCD didn't have that many chances. They got the goal from like a bit of a set piece non clearance from Longford Town. So I'm gonna go. Did you say 1-0 UCD?
I did go 1-0 UCD. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow you on that. I was gonna say 2-1 to UCD, but I don't. It might be a bit tame going up front at the moment. So I'll just stick to the 1-0.
Okay, Ethan going 2-1 to UCD there. We've got another Cork derby. It's Cove against Cork.
Jesus, was that last week as well, was it?
I know, it feels like it was only yesterday.
Yeah, and this is in St. Coleman's.
It is.
This is the first one with the new pitch, isn't it? I think so. Must be. Cove, they've kind of put it together a bit. Do they have a hope here, do you think?
No,
be too kind, eh?
No, Cork to grind it out 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cork City 1-0.
Okay, and Ethan's actually going for a surprise result here. He's going 2-1 to Cove. Shells against Drogheda. We go into the Premier Division games.
I think this is, I don't want to say must win for Shells, but they kind of need to. Your top.
This is going to be dull enough. 0-0.
Oh, I'll tell you, when you say something is dull, you're rarely wrong, to be fair to you. 0-0, do you say?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 1-0 Shells.
Okay. And Ethan going 2-1 to Shells. There won't be that many goals in Ethan, trust me. Derry against Bowes. They played Bowes after Devine had left, and we all thought it was a great chance. And were they beaten that night, I think?
Or they were. That was the game I was at.
Yeah. So these are sort of games they have to be winning at home. Their home form is excellent, to be fair. We've spoken before about how we think that Brandywell pitch is an issue for them, but they've got the best home form in the league, 5 wins from 8, and away from home, they've only won 1 from 7. So it's actually been on the road that they've really struggled this season.
Yeah, well, we've seen plenty of that. They're not good enough on the road to be challenging anything. I'm going to say, do you think there'll be a bit of a reaction from Bowes and, you know, trying to be a bit, let's say, harder? Or
yeah, I think they'll try and be more solid here. But yeah, look, I really dread when I have to back Derry on the podcast these days. They go off and let me down. I'm going to go 1-0 to Derry.
Yeah, same.
And Ethan going 2-0 to his local rivals there. Waterford against Dundalk. This is a big one for Dundalk because they are starting to get cut adrift.
Yeah, they are, and I don't think they're going to be getting any less adrift at this one. The Waterford will be bouncing after this weekend. And what more would you want than the bottom place team?
Their performances have improved, and again, they started the Louth derby really well. Second half, I thought though, towards the end of the first half, Drogheda were actually ending the half the stronger. And then second half, obviously, we know what happened, but definitely.
Did you think Dundalk were going to score if the keeper hadn't got sent off? And Wogan should have done much better for the free kick. I know there was talk of a deflection and stuff like that, but come on, man, get your body.
He probably wasn't warmed up, to be fair, but that's no excuse. He needs to keep that out. Did I think Dundalk were going to score? No, I think that they looked lively early in the game, and the more the game went on, you were starting to
wonder.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to paint that was a fantastic display or anything like that. And it certainly wasn't the display that Noel King, I think, was trying to paint it out to be. But performances definitely have improved since Stephen O'Donnell left. There's no doubt about that. Even the Shells game, as I said, it was very, very dull, but I actually enjoyed, and I think maybe you've talked a lot about, me and you have talked a lot about, we're kind of sick of this tippy-tappy stuff. There's definitely less of that from the Dundalk. They're not, I remember talking on the pod here about a game, I think it was the Galway game, they lost early in the season, to Andy Boyle and Anna Massoon, the whole night, back and forth to each other, and back and forth, and back to the goalkeeper. And it was just sickening to watch. There's none of that now since O'Donnell's left. There has definitely been a tweak in how they play. They're quicker. It's more direct, but that's not to say it's long ball. They're just quicker to get the ball into the middle third and into the final third. And it's actually enjoyable to watch. But they do definitely lack that bit of quality in the final third. That's something Waterford don't with Padraig Ammon. Could he be the difference here?
Yeah, sure. Why not? He has the ability. I think you're right, and actually you could see it in the game, the Dundalk Bowes game, actually. They were much quicker, and I think if more teams maybe employed that, we'd get better football to watch, and maybe teams might do a bit better than what we're currently seeing. But I don't think for this one, I don't think they have a shot here. I think Waterford are on a nice little run, building up a nice little run. You want to continue that. And particularly after beating Shamrock Rovers and Talley, you don't want to follow that up at not getting all 3 points against Dundalk the way they are at the minute. So I'm going to go 3-1 to Waterford.
3-1, okay. I'm going to go 2-1.
Well, actually, sorry. I'm 2-0 to Waterford.
Okay. Yeah, Shelby's going to be suspended. Munro will come in, hasn't played a lot. They conceded such a poor set piece for the winner against Drogheda, so there's a few concerns from a defensive point of view there for Dundalk, so I think that's kind of swayed me Waterford's way. Ethan going 1-1, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw, but
no, I think Waterford are going to do it.
Okay. This is live on the telly on Friday night, and it'll be very interesting viewing now given what's unfolded today. Rovers against Pats,
should have known that was on the telly. You only see what really one thing happening here, can't you?
Rovers bouncing back.
Huh?
Rovers bouncing back.
Oh, yeah. Uncomfortably enough, I think. I know Pats beat them earlier on in the season, which was a big surprise for all involved.
Yeah, we thought that was going to be a turning point, but sadly it wasn't. It was just one of those false dawns that we've talked
false
about.
False dawns that you love saying, yeah. You know, there's layers to it. I can just see Rovers just getting back on track. Not that they're really off track. They're going to lose games across the season. I'm going to go for... are they due to give out a pasting against a team that, you know... Yeah, 3-0 Rovers.
3-0, wow. I'm going to go 3-1 Rovers. Ethan's going the same. And then we've got the Connacht Derby, Galway against Sligo. We actually talked about it a few weeks ago and said we'd come back to it when it became more clear what was going to happen. John Caulfield did get extra games for... breaching the disciplinary
rules. Well done, the FBI.
So yeah, so that did happen. So we didn't make that up. Or the chap that tweeted it more so didn't make it up. So yeah, interesting stuff. Galway against Sligo. Sligo on a really poor run. Galway, an excellent bank holiday weekend. They'll fancy their chances here, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. I think it'll be 1-0, but...
I've already wrote it down.
I don't see them scoring more than a goal. I know you like reminding me that Shamrock or Sligo Rovers have their injury worries, but Max Matta was back the other day. Yeah, they're just not at it, and are they another soft team, are they?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's that.
So you're going 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0 Galway. I don't think there'll be much fanfare around it either. It'll be a good dogged performance. Probably a Dervin will go around and chop a few boys down, and Ed McCarthy might, I don't know, get the assist for Stephen Walsh to bury it in or something. But we know the script. But
you're like me, big Sopranos fan. It's a bit like I can't remember the chap's name, but remember when Tony's trying to break it off with the car saleswoman.
Yeah,
and remember your boy goes out to threaten her, and he's like, "And it won't be cinematic."
Yeah.
That'll be Galway here. It's just gonna be, you know, plain and simple 1-0.
Plain and simple 1-0. Yeah. I'd be quite surprised if Galway really or Sligo laid love on Galway at all.
Yeah. Right. That brings us to the BTS hotline. We've got quite a bit to get through this week.
Good.
FF Robinson said, "Just glad you've got your win."
Thank you.
That even his enjoyment in our misery was starting to run out. So thanks very much for that.
I'll tell you, he got plenty of misery. He got 13 solid weeks of it, pal.
Git, who's having a tough time of things at the minute, wants to know Biscoff or Oreo McFlurry.
Do you know what? I was leaving Longford last night to head back to Dublin. I got a 99 in Longford for part of the road, and then I pulled into McDonald's and got a Biscoff McFlurry.
I actually haven't tried a Biscoff McFlurry, but I'm a big Biscoff man.
Yeah, no, it's class. Big class. Yeah.
Jack just points out something that I pointed out earlier in the show about Derry's home form compared to their away form describes it as quite puzzling, which it is, because we've talked so much about how the Brandywell is a hindrance to them, yet they're getting good results there and can't get good results on the road. So that is strange. Ethan from Harps, who's playing in the Predictions League tonight, he says, "I love football. It hates me wherever I go. Aviva, Old Trafford, even the Carlisle ground, it hates me." Yeah, well, that's how we've been feeling since September. So don't cry too much.
Oh, it is going near Old Trafford anyway.
Yeah. Owen Gardner, "Is this really a runner?" He's referencing Kenny to Pats. "Credit to the club for aiming high if it's true. One of the bigger budgets, European football, some quality players, at least on paper, at his disposal. What do you think the chances of this are?" I think we've already covered that. David Doherty says, "O'Donnell to Pats." I think that might be a little bit tongue-in-cheek from him. Who else have we got this week? Elon, "Can they bring in some junior league refs for a week or two? They can't be as bad as some of the poor excuses for refs I've seen this season. The treaty match had a doozy of a ref performance again from Mr. Referee of the Year." I think that's Alan Patchley's referencing there. But
yeah, well, we've dealt with that one. This is the thing. Like, we'll say, if you have to have a bit more of a knowledge of the rules. Like, we'll say, and someone, I remember talking about this before, someone was like, "Oh, the laws of the game, you know, what are you talking about?" And yes, that is true. There is a bit of, like, you know, arseholedness around the rules of the game. But if you're complaining about a decision that a ref makes, you need to know the rules. And there's no such thing as last man back. or last, you know, last man or any of that rubbish that people go, that's been out of the game a lifetime. So if you're talking about last man back, then you don't deserve to have a say in it because you didn't know the rules. And what Alan Patchell has applied there is, yeah, I might not give a lot of people might not have given a red card. A lot of refs might not have given a red card in that situation, but you can understand why. There's a part of the rule is you consider where the other defenders might be. That's it. There's no last man back. And
I think the bigger issue here, without personalizing it into individual referees, I think there seems to be a lack of depth in the refereeing pool at the moment. There's a couple of senior referees that have stepped away. There's been a lot of talk about obviously kind of tensions between the referees and the league or the FAI. There seems to be a lack of depth. There is some younger faces on the scene at the moment, and I think maybe we're seeing some mistakes from referees that are lacking experience, and that's going to be part and parcel of it. So they're just going to have to level out a little bit. But this debate is going to rumble on, I feel, until, and even, look, it'll always rumble on as part of the game. But I do think the only way you're going to improve refereeing standards is by professionalising the referees. And as we know, the FAI don't have the money to do that right now. Jim Fitzgerald.
On the refs, and not to say that I'm a pro ref man, but on Friday there was a particularly idiotic incident where the UCD keeper was holding on to the ball for far too long and the referee told him to play on. The ball was in play, man. You don't tell him to play on. That's what, you know, you see underage refs do to under 10s.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, play on. You know, remind them how to take a throw in, you know, over the head. And
to be fair, that's probably not just a League of Ireland thing, though. Like the 6 second rule, when was it last ever applied?
It was famously applied, I think, in a women's game or a women's World Cup match. But I say famously and then don't remember what happened in. But I'm. Excuse me. Whatever about the 6 second rule, the point is that if the ref has to tell him to play on, that means the ref has already deemed that he has held on to it for too long, and that's a foul.
Yeah.
Probably that ref, I never heard of him before at this level. Indirect free kick, he didn't want to get involved with that.
Yeah, but again, we're not seeing that punished in any league around the world, so that's something that I think that just is an issue in the game at the moment. Jim Fitzgerald, a Waterford fan, says, can we play in Tala every week? Alan Kelly, Bose fan, what has Finland done to improve Bohemians? The Estonian and Polish signings have been absolutely horrendous, not even Leinster senior level players. It's like we got them out of a lucky bag. Is Finland's position untenable now? Not even seen at games at Dalymount Park. Well, look, we'll have to take your word for that. We don't get up to Dalymount too often, unfortunately. But look, recruitment has been a huge talking point at Bose for quite some time now.
They went down the road of getting half of Estonia in, like what Sligo did, and that didn't work for them either. I don't know why the Estonian league seems to be, you know, let's get these boys in from Estonia. I don't understand that, and why that has been poor feeding ground for League of Ireland clubs. Never understood it. Has it ever worked? I think Poom has been, and he hasn't pulled up too many trees himself. Like, he's all right, but we thought he was going to be the next big thing when we saw him that time. But I don't know.
Look, they've got a summer window coming up, and I think
how involved will Pat Fenlon be in that? I know he's director of football or whatever title he has at the minute, but like Alan Reynolds has to really go in 2 feet here, because if he's looking at what his predecessor got, he's like, I'm not dealing with that, or else I'll be out the door myself. So he needs to take two hands all over this in the summer.
It's not fair, 1895 SFC. Do you think you'll ever make another podcast without talking about Damien Duff? Well, we actually hadn't mentioned him until you did, so there you go. Damien MC, who's the dog fan, he's just got a face palm emoji summing up the emotions there at the minute. Edward O'Callaghan, Patton Harps are playing very poorly lately. Yeah, we've touched on that. Hopefully that continues on Friday. And Simon Canning, how did Deegan stay on the pitch? Why did the ref and the linesman completely ignore a blatant attack on a player? Now, Simon,
a blatant what?
Yeah, a blatant attack on a player. I think that's very OTT, Simon, without being disrespectful. I appreciate the fact you've sent the question in, but he was late in. He was lucky to stay on the pitch, but a blatant attack. Come on, I don't think we need to be that
same. Yeah, he didn't.
The things in the league.
He caught him late.
But he was late. He was very lucky. It was one of those where the tackle goes in and then there was a really long passage of play before the ball went out of play. And yeah. I was looking at the ref the whole time. Is he even going to speak to him? And he didn't. There was probably a minute and a half between the incident and the ball stopping. He should have at least got a talking to Derek Egan. But he was lucky. But look,
I think that was it. But like, you know, he didn't slide in from 10 yards away. He wasn't 10 foot.
He was quite late. The ball was a fair way gone. And he did catch a good chunk of the player as well. It wasn't one of these where he's kind of running by. And
oh, so you actually do think it was yellow?
Yeah, I do actually.
All right, okay.
But anyway, look, we got through quite a bit there. We didn't have any guests this week because with the bank holiday, obviously teams playing Friday, Monday, a bit of obviously recovery in between, very difficult to get players or managers on this week. And plus, we've been doing a good bit of traveling ourselves to games. So hopefully you'll understand that. We'll endeavour to get some names on the pod next week. We've covered quite a bit of ground there. But I think the takeaway from it all, Gary, is we're predicting stuff here and we haven't a fucking clue what's going to happen from week to week.
Well, hopefully my improved showing in the predictions league will continue. I can reel in the listeners and...
I can't remember a season like this in terms of a start. It just seems very unpredictable from week to week.
Yeah, but if you look at the tables, like they seem to be like that, you know, there's like 10 or 13 points separating the top or 8 or 9 teams in the Premier Division. It's just all over the place.
And I think a lot of people are asking, is that because the league is more competitive or is there a lack of quality? I think we're probably leaning the way of lack of quality, are we? Particularly in the first division, I think that's a fair comment, but...
Yeah,
in the Premier, there's no doubt the presence of Waterford and Galway has strengthened up that division and made it more competitive. So you'd expect
definitely.
To be more congested. But I don't think we're seeing wonderful games of football at the minute, are we?
No, we're not. No, I think that's very fair. I don't think the live games,
and I know we've joked about the live TV curse and all the rest, but
I know there's a few curses going around this league. Like we'll say, live TV curse ourselves anytime we get. A big crowd, we shit the togs. There's probably a few others. I don't know. I'd be looking at it slightly differently in the Premier, that there is probably a slightly less quality maybe than previous years, but I think there's. I know we go on about it, and I don't really want to get into it now, but like the systemification, let's say, of teams that are more limited. Like, I love nothing more. Like, a video came up there last week of the Inter-Barcelona Champions League. I think it was semi-final. It was the year that Inter won it.
Yeah, remember it well.
And
I remember it well.
Yeah. And I think, like, Inter had, like, 14% possession or something like that in the Nou Camp, and they lost 1-0. But they'd won 3-0 in San Siro the week before. And like, it was a master of defensive performance.
Mm.
But like that seemed to be like, oh, I can play crap football in one sense, but also I can play really unexciting system football and every game is boring, but you know, we'll probably get 1.2 points per game and we'll stay in the division. And that's it. So there's probably a bit more of that going on than just a straight lack of quality in the division.
Fair enough. Something to ponder over for our next show. We'll be back again next week. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. We'll speak to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.